What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live a lot of days. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. Thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It is Wednesday, March 1st. Happy first of the month. It came fast with February being short, I guess. Today's show is, well, I may play a repeat from last week's show for the last 35 minutes, which last week Jada Tarbutton Springfield was live in the studio, and we were talking about having seen the James Baldwin film, I Am Not Your Negro. I'm not sure if it's still showing at Amherst Cinema, but it was great. And for the first part of the show, I might just talk a lot. Jada might come in again, too. We'll see. And as for what I will talk about, I don't know. Okay. Let's start with, so here's something that's on my mind. One of my coworkers said to me the other day something about how pedal people, so we do pedal people, it's a trash and recycling, compost hauling business, cooperative business here based in Northampton. And he said something to me about how it wasn't really that intellectually demanding. You know, you'd go around, you pick up trash and recycling, you load it on your bike and you take it and you drop it off. And I thought, actually what I said to him was, well, maybe you need to do some more administrative work, because that could be anything like business development kind of work, or trying to encourage other worker cooperatives, like through the Valley Alliance of Worker Cooperatives, going to those meetings. Yeah, it could be just trying to figure out how to expand or grow our business. It could be trying to figure out how to encourage people to make less trash. Like, can we come up with any schemes or competitions or cooperative competitions, rewards for people to make less trash, etc. Anyway, but through that, I was thinking about that a lot today when I was picking up trash. Like, is this an intellectually demanding job or not? Well, not really, but there's so much opportunity. And maybe he meant it, and maybe what he meant was, because you don't have to be on the ball intellectually to do the job, it frees up brain cells for you to think and problem solve other problems of the world. Anyway, I realized part of me took it a little bit personally. Like, what? I'm just doing a job I don't have to think too much for. But then the other thing I've always known, is how much I really love to do it. Because for me, I love being physical. Like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional athlete, like maybe a basketball player or a football player. And that didn't really work out, and my body would have gotten too beat up doing those things. So actually read that the average career span for a professional men's basketball player is about 6 years. And I thought, ha! I've been doing pedal people for almost 15 years now. As a professional cyclist, I'm ahead of the game. And another thing that I thought about this week, I was running up and down some steps in and out of Paige's basement at the bike lab. And it's the bike lab is in the basement, where it's kind of not quite a spiral staircase, but it's a narrow, tricky staircase to get up and down, especially when you're trying to carry a bike. But not carrying a bike, I just like to run up and down the steps, and it's kind of like an obstacle course. You got to duck your head so you don't hit the staircase above you and turn around the corner and not slip, and the doors open in weird ways. And it just reminded me of being a kid. Like, obstacle courses were always my favorite thing. I just love obstacle courses and being physical in that way. And anyway, so doing my route today, I just love being physical and seeing how I can move my body in the smoothest, most efficient way, and that kind of thing. And then tangentially related things that keep coming into my mind related to this. I saw this article entitled, the world's fastest woman on two wheels. I think, is it from the Washington Post, maybe? No, it's from the Wall Street Journal from January 2017. Denise Mueller always loved speed, but nothing prepared her for the risks and thrills of riding a bike at 140 miles per hour. 125 feet per pedal stroke. It says Denise Mueller, a 43-year-old mother of three, pedals hard atop the Bonneville Salt Flats in western Utah, making a run at an eccentric land speed record, the fastest bicyclist on Earth. Anyway, so when cyclists pedal this fast, they're drafting behind, like she was drafting behind a race car driver on the super high-geared bike. And anyway, wow. Pedal People moves really, really slow. I think I read somewhere in this article the world record for cyclists. What is that? 152 miles per hour by John Howard. He's now 69, I think. And Mueller's is setting a record for women. Apparently the John Howard, who was the fastest guy, he talked Mueller into trying this madness to become the fastest female cyclist and take a crack at the all-time motor-paced bicycle land speed record. And that, talking about how I love my job, inspires me to play a little Mary Poppins.
Chimney, chim, chimney, chim, chim, cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim, chimney, chim, chimney, chim, chim, cheroo. Good luck, we're above when I shakes hands with you. Oh, blow me a kiss. And that's lucky too. Now, as the ladder of life has been strung, you might think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. Though I spends me time in the ashes and smoke, in this old wide world there's no happier bloke. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheroo. Good luck, we're above when I shake hands with you. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheroo. Good luck, we're above when I shake hands with you.
Okay, I just have to play this other Mary Poppins song, too, because it goes through my head a lot. And Jada is in the studio, so when we get back from this song, we'll have Jada on the air.
Keep a straight face. Last time it took us 3 days to get him down.
I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee.
You're no help at all.
The more the glee, the more I'm a merrier me. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a merrier me.
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Dreadful. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Not at all attractive to my way of thinking.
Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Others, they twitter like birds.
You know, you're as bad as he is.
Then there's a kind what can't make up their mind. Where
and things strike me as funny. I can't hide it inside and squeak as the squeakles do. I got to let go with a ho. And
how nice! I was hoping you'd turn up. We always have such a jolly time.
We love to laugh. Loud and long and clear. We love to laugh. So everybody can hear. The more you laugh.
Whoops, don't you two start. Come back down here.
The more the glee. The more we're American.
Well, wait, stop. Stop. Well, if you're still listening.
My goodness. What did I come in on? Lord have mercy,
if you had been on time, you wouldn't have played this.
Listen here. I told you I have a thing called color people time. All right, have some sympathy for the cultural assimilation that you're going through.
Well, have some sympathy for the very pop. That's
why
people
can't
laughing.
Can't you play some black music? Is there such a thing called black music? Can't you put in some, white lines or something like that to help your audience? What is that? Rickety, dickety, dickety, doc? What the hell is going on?
Can you say that word? I think that word's okay.
What the H-E double hockey stick? Ruthie, what's wrong with you, honey child?
I got some climbing poetry.
Okay, that's fine, but that make a child have a headache.
Well, I'm glad you're here to save me from myself and save the listening audience, too.
Oh, my goodness. I ain't lying. So, I'm sorry, audience, that I had to use that Southern Baptist fire and brimstone word. But you should have heard this place. I thought I was in the mall in the dentist's office. You know the kind that hurt because that drill is coming next.
Oh.
Well, no, Ruthie, you know I love you.
So now that there's another live person in the studio... It's very obvious by this point.
Hi, y'all. I miss y'all.
Jade was here last week, and it was such a pleasure. She came back. Thank
did,
you.
I didn't get lost. I'm just,
The phone's ringing.
Hey, call. Who's calling? I'm Frasier Crane. You're on the air, Seattle.
It's in the other room. Oh. So I'm going to encourage them to call this number if someone wants to call. But we got to screen people first because it could be a prank call.
Don't call and prank me. I have nightmares from all that kind of stuff. This is 2017. Don't be doing that. That's not nice.
All right. But if you want to call, it's 585-1033. You're listening.
Okay.
Yeah. You're listening to Valley Free Radio.
Valley Free Radio. That's nice.
Yep. Also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. And
103.3, is that what
103.3.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Tell your friends to tune in.
Yeah, I have.
I guess they won't hear you over the air if they haven't tuned in yet, there, right?
That's very, very true.
Actually, so last week's show I also put on the archives or the podcast, and that's at weatherbeard.com/out there.
A lot has happened in a week. Oh,
yeah,
a lot happens in 7 days.
Tell me what's on your mind, Jada.
Honey, child, did you hear about this thing called the Oscars? Remember last time we were talking about these movies?
You're talking about it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. What is so amazing when they got that mix up with the Oscar in the end?
You know what?
Oscar ain't so white no more.
Remember how I said last time that I don't really watch TV? But
I
took your I did what you said. You told me I got to go watch Sanford and Son.
I did.
That was my homework, so I did. That was my cultural literacy homework, so I did. And I enjoyed my Friday evening laughing.
Oh, good. And that makes you feel good, too. Laughter brings up the endorphins, and that's what somebody told me.
Well, that's why I played this I Love to Laugh song, but you didn't think it was funny.
Girl, I thought that was scary. I said, Lord, have mercy. Are we in Disneyland? Can I say that? Lord, have mercy. L-A-W-D, have mercy.
So what was the... Give me some background on the Oscars.
Well, apparently, it was pretty good. Okay, audience, y'all have to help me because I didn't see it all. I was flipping because it is also time that I watch my reality TV show. And that's my, it gets me out of my own reality. So when I watch reality TV, I think my life is not that bad. And I get to cuss the TV out. And that's healthy. It really is. You can't cuss people out, so you can cuss your TV out. That's why people think I have lots of neighbors in my house, because I have the TV on loud and I'm cussing them all out. Healthy, healthy. We have to have our venting ways, especially in the political climate that we have right now. You know, it's very good to do that. So I was going back and forth. And then I'm going to go see the movie Moonlight. And I didn't want to see it because a good friend of mine, he really, really wants to go see it. And he's been cheerleading this movie. And he hasn't been feeling well. And he wants to see it in the movie theater. So that dude, the black dude, sorry. Dude, your name, Marshall, I'm sorry. I'm bad with names. I'm bad with my own name. But he won for, he got an Oscar for it. And I think that was the first Muslim American. So, and his outfit was really like on point. He had this cute black outfit on, like black. It was really good. So that was a first. And then in the very end, they say at the very end, they do for the best picture. They did. And they said, and the Oscar goes to La 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 Land, the movie starring. I haven't seen it, but it's on Jazz. I'm told it's a good movie and I definitely want to see it when it's $1.99. And then I don't know what happened. I hear these people, Price Water, whatever, who it is, these auditors who carry around a briefcase. I don't even know, because I could just carry it in my brassiere. But you know, the winners, you know,
slips with the names on them. Or something.
Uh-huh. I think they get all starstruck, and then they're like, "Take a picture with me. Take a picture with me." And so he had just taken a picture with the woman who, the girl who had won for La La Land. What's her name? Y'all help me here. Pretty redhead,
no
pretty
help.
Girl.
I know you.
And so somehow there was a mix up. And then, so when they went to announce it, they said La La won. And then everybody was like, "Oh, really? Well, hey, I'll go ahead and clap. Hey, you know, hey, you won." And then somebody ran on stage and they were upset in their speech, like, "I'm so happy. Thank you, Oscar. La 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 la. And la 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 la." And then all of a sudden somebody came on and said, "This is not a joke. The winner is Moonlight." And then everybody, and Ben Affleck and Meryl Streep, and everybody went, "Duh." You see their faces like, "Duh." Because this has never happened. And it was in the last minutes of the Oscar. They all, you should see, people got pictures of them because they were like, "This is not a joke." And they turned the envelope around saying, "There was a mistake." It was like just to the point. It was a mistake. We made a mistake. Moonlight won Best Picture. And then at that point, brothers, I don't want to say brothers, they were like, "What?" So they got on stage and they were like, "Scares me, scares me. Move out the way, la 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 land." And they were like, "Excuse me." And then, because we were like, "Yeah, is this a joke? Is this candy camera? Come on, y'all." And then they were like, "This is not a joke." And then it was still going on. So you were like, "Thank you." What else could you say? So that happened. Wow. Ben Affleck was like, "What?" And Damien, what's his name? Damon? What's his name? Ben, what's some, whatever his name. Ben Affleck and his, whatever, the dude they play in the movies again. What is it? Good Will Hunting. His face was shocked. Meryl Streep. And then I think Trump said, "Well, see, y'all got all that confusion because y'all were so busy talking about me." I don't know. He had to insert himself. You know Donald Trump. He can't never do anything. And I think Jimmy Kimmel, I think he tweeted to President. Oh, I'm never saying President Trump. I think he tweeted Trump. Say that fast. Tweeted Trump doing twam on it. Tweet twat twat twat. Twitter twatted Trump. Twitter commercials. He did. I think he said, "Go to the bathroom and enjoy yourself." I think he did.
And, yeah, all right. So that's an update from the Oscars.
Yeah, so it was
well, cool. I'm glad Moonlight got it. I've heard so much great stuff
so
about that movie.
Talked about it afterwards. Of course, they talked about the clothes, and Viola Davis got an Oscar, and this guy. How do I say his name, guys? Marshallalala. Help me. I still can't
5-8-5-1-0-3-3.
I still can't even say that dude name who did. What does he say? "I see dead people." The director. I call him M. Night Shyamalan.
You're asking the wrong person.
I still can't say his name. I have a problem with names. That's why I call people dudes and you know who you are kind of thing. But in the end, everybody was talking about that. It was pretty amazing that you had to think it was on candid camera. So did they call? What happened
with
the call?
Oh, okay. Someone might have called in the other room, but I couldn't do anything about it.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. So
my favorite didn't get even one award, Lions with Nicole Kidman. And that's based on a true story. So Moonlight, I'm told, is based on a true story. So I have to go see that in the theater.
Is it still showing at Amherst Cinema?
Well, I hope so, Amherst Cinema, after all the plugs I gave you last week. I want my, what do you call that, reparation check? No, what's the word? Reference check? Recommendation check?
I forget what you call it. Referral check? Something? Promotional? Whatever.
Did I say reparation? Yeah.
All right.
None coming, but anything you put in my pocket, I'll take.
All right. Where were we? That's Jada. Send money her way. So here's something else I want to talk about. So at the end of last week's show, I just started to bring this up and like time ran out.
This is
like a serious topic.
Okay, what?
So last week I participated in this research study by a grad student from UMass.
Yes, yes.
And the study is about, I think the title of the study is The Role of Whites in the Struggle for Racial Justice or for Justice for Blacks. It was particularly talking about black, white in the United States, black, white, racial justice.
Please participate. I've talked to her as well.
You did?
Okay. Yes, and I want to put the flyer up. Do you have a flyer?
I don't have the flyer. She tried to print
it. It didn't go. But please, listening audience, if you can participate, whites, blacks, Latinos, Asians.
Well, I think she was just particularly looking for people who identify as black or as white. That was what I thought.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Do you want to say any more about
it? Oh, you go ahead.
Okay.
You.
Well, her name is Hema Priya, I think. And I have to
What ethnicity is she? I'm going to put you on the test.
Well, she's from Malaysia.
So, what is that, Ruthie? Now, I'm going to put you in here. Don't put other.
Are you looking for like an ethnicity? That's her ethnicity.
Yeah.
That's
not nationality.
What are you looking for?
No, I'm asking you what ethnicity is.
I don't know.
See, I love doing this to Ruthie. We get together and I'm always making her sweat. Go ahead.
All I know is that she had a family emergency she had to attend to. And so she had to go. She went back to Malaysia to see her family.
When?
This was back in January.
Oh, okay. So what ethnicity would she be to you? I'm just curious. I know.
If
Barack Obama's sisters. No, that's Indonesia. Sorry, Barack.
When I think ethnicity, I think there's probably a bunch of ethnic groups in Malaysia that I don't even know about.
Oh, go ahead. Touche. She got me.
You mean
me,
like,
y'all.
What are you talking about? Like, what, skin color?
I'm just bothering
you. What are you messing with me?
You know I love you. I'm just messing with your mind and everything like that because I can.
You ask her.
You.
You talk to her. You ask her.
Oh, I know. I did. But that's why I thought maybe that she was going to include Asians.
Hmm.
But she was just including just blacks and whites.
That's what the study paper said. But she needs a lot more people. And I don't have her information now, but you can contact me. You can send an email to ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. That's RUTHY. And I will forward you her information.
But apparently,
well, if you hear Jada out and about on town, you can ask her.
Well, apparently, from what I'm told, what she's going to do is that it's like a setup. She's going to come. It takes about an hour. Oh, and she pays you.
Yeah, you get
$10. You hear me? What's that? Amherst Cinema? Reparations for this depression in this recession. No, she's going to do like a... I don't want to say the word leaderboard.
Card sorting task is what she called it. I think that's the grad student lingo.
And so she's going to ask, what are some of the questions that she asked?
So basically what the study was like.
Because you don't want people, is it going to bring up evoke issues and people going to cry? Tell us what it's about. I haven't done it yet, but I've signed up to do it with
her. Great. So I met with her in person and she had her materials that she laid out on a table. We did it at the Smith College Campus Center in the basement, which is a great place to do it, free and open to the public.
It's so amazing there.
So she had a poster board kind of sheet that she laid down on the table, and she gave me like, I don't know, 30 cards that had like just little cards that had different things written on them.
Like what?
So the cards were said. So she gave me all these cards, and you had to decide how important they were in the struggle. So the cards said things like. They're all things that like white people should do, and how important do you think it is for white people to do these things? So things like white people should provide emotional support to black friends when they're under attack. white people should join anti-racist organizations. White people should vote for anti-racist politicians. White people should forward on social media things related to like educational things around race relations.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so the things were, even though there were like 30 cards, maybe they were sort of general categories, and some were a lot about personal work, personal education, self-education kind of work. Some were about, or like, you know, white people should not expect black people to educate them. Right. Just lots of different things. White people at a protest, white people should not talk to the media, but should direct the media to black leaders.
That'd be nice.
So you had to take all these things and how important, you had to rate them on the scale of importance, like, you know, 5 + 5 being most important, -5 being least important.
That's
so you had to put these value judgments on all these things that seemed good, important things.
Oh, wow. Well,
so, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, listening audience, I haven't taken it yet. I have agreed to take it, and it's $10 for my thoughts. Me and my thoughts, as much as I like to talk, well, doggy. So I'm asking you, get the information as Ruthie has shared with you. Take this test, and the $10, you get your money paid right then and there.
Yeah, cash in pocket. Cash in pocket.
Oh, honey, mm-hmm. Child, she better not come around me when I'm broke. No, I'm serious. Well, that's rare. Guys, penny for your thoughts. I'm getting, now with this political situation, I'm getting so much in as far as surveys, I think it's, is it Act Blue or something? And I get so many of them, you know, getting rid of Trump. And then the same old ones, you know, there's an election coming up. I forget his last name. Is it John Osun? Guys, help me, listening audience. And there's an election I think is coming up. Is it in Virginia? I'm getting so much. Mm. I'm getting inundated. I'm excited. I want to know all about this.
Yeah.
So I'm getting so many of these surveys, like, did I know what percentage of people that didn't vote as opposed to this, and this is going up on this issue. So I like being informed. So you can see I have my computer and my iPad with me, and that every time I open up my email, well, I got 16 emails now. Oh, his name is John Ossoff, O-S-S-O-F. And so he's like, I want to thank you. And they're raising money. Look, I'm poor. I can't contribute more. I got a big mouth, and I can come on the radio, and I can tell people. But he is doing very well. First Democratic victory since Trump took office. They charge up, want to do that. Here's another way to help.
Wait, so what, he's running for what position in Virginia, you said?
Let me see where he is. ElectJohn.com. No, HTTP, whatever space, goelectjohn.com. And so I'm getting so much stuff for this guy. John, special election first. Let me get my glasses. First competitive congressional race in Trump era, civil rights icon John Lewis. Let me get this straight. So I get this stuff so much. Ouch. So I don't want to go away from that.
Okay.
His story campaign, because he knows our best chance to stand up for our values and stop Trump's radical agenda. So he's been sending me stuff. But I like that you're sending me and telling me what's going on. But stop asking me for money. I mean, even $3 is much. $3, I mean, you know, I do my own hair. I do my own nails, and you can see they're not done. I mean, not that I care about nails. I mean, and then I'm a part of Ward 3, the Neighborhood Association.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I definitely, most definitely go to the board commissioner. So there's so much stuff that's going on. They just stopped smoking in public housing, and so I'm excited about that. Here's another one for John Ossoff, the midlife fundraising deadline. I'm happy about that. And, of course, I have to listen to my Rachel Maddow, and said it's a must-win for Democrats. So I'm really busy with a lot of stuff. So early in the morning, I have my, you know, my... And then, of course, guys, I hope I saw you guys there. Markey, Senator Edward Markey.
You went to that last Thursday night, his town hall meeting or whatever.
It was so nice. And here's a... Well, you can't see me, audience. But I came in my pink... I didn't come in my pink Cadillac because I don't have a pink Cadillac, but I was there and I had to come represent, you know, and come in my pink. But here's a little picture of me. I think I'm going to show a little bit. Okay, here's me. Listen.
You're going to show that through the microphone?
That's me. I'm telling you, I got my buttons on. One button says no human is illegal.
Oh, Yeah, that reminded me of something else I wanted to share on the air today.
And then I'm going, rah! And I sent this down to Texas, and I was like, everybody, I Facebooked it. And I said, all my relatives, go to these town hall meetings. I had my pink hat on. And so it was really nice. And behind me, there was a city councilman, Ryan O'Donnell, I believe. And I sat next to this cute little boy. I mean, little to me, he could have been, what, 21? I'm like, you do this, and you do this for the women. And Marky was just wonderful. And when he wasn't talking about everything, he was progressive.
Right. Funding, show me the guarantees of coverage.
And if they're saying we're paid protests, where's my money? Show me the money. I'm serious. Where? I mean, people are showing up in droves. And so this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And so I was all excited to be there. And while I was there, I'm learning stuff. There were some Smith women who they kept saying, stop Friedman. And I was like, who is Friedman? And so I was like, scarce me. I was like, here, Honeychild, can you tell me who Friedman is? And they asked Marky, they said, Friedman is going up. I guess he's going to be an ambassador to Israel. And they didn't want him because he was for these settlements.
Right.
And that was for the Palestinians and that he was sending money over there to fund them and build houses. And they were putting him to test. I mean, he's progressive. We're all progressive. But there are people like, I want your assurance that you're not going to vote for him. And we want to hear that right now.
Yeah.
And he was like, and he giving that long, you know, that politician speech. Well, you know, Elizabeth Warren and I, as we were having coffee the other day, and we were talking about that and blah, 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 blah. And they go, well, that's really nice. We want your assurance that you're not going to be voting for him. And he was like, oh, I didn't say that. And they go, we didn't hear it. I say, hey, Smithereens. And I was like, come here. I want to tell y'all something that's what's going on with me, what's happening in progressive Northampton with my little racism stuff. Come over here. So I gave him the stuff. I texted them with it. I mean, this is the type of stuff, the networking that's going on. And I almost wanted to get up and do my little dance. Hey. But then I didn't want to be like a spectacle because I had my little pink outfit on, my little black dress, my little pink thing. I had my little pink hat. And I had this. Here's my pink hat. I don't care. People looking at me. And then did you see my little pink glasses?
I did not.
You ain't seen these, Ruthie? Hey, look at this, girlfriend. I'm telling you. Look. Hey. I know I look good. My pink thing. I got these at, what you call that store?
Acme?
No. What are you talking about? That looked like a hardware store.
Acme Surplus?
Ruthie, girl, you best Faces? Be gone. No, it's right there in the store. You go into the...
Thorns,
yes. And I told them to order this, because if you can't get a pink hat because it doesn't match what you have, and you can't get this, then you can get these pink glasses for $6. I think they're cute. Here, I'll send a picture. My Facebook is just for folks in Texas. No, I've survived the winter. But
all right, you send me a picture, and I'll put it on the link to your radio show with you.
It's a women's revolution. Yeah, I should have that.
Did you want to say? Oh boy, I keep getting distracted. I had some more things that I wanted to say about that research study. But then you also sort of were, I don't know if you want to say any more about the situation you're in at your tenants association. If we should just talk about other stuff.
No, we can talk about that. No, I wanted to say this. I live in the Walter Savo Walter Savo house. And about a year ago, I'm going to talk about what you know, so you can talk about this. A year ago when I came there, I never lived in as much as I grew up in poverty in the South. I moved in and this dealt with racism here, and it started out about recycling. You see this little thing that I'm drinking, this little salt water?
Plastic water bottle?
Yeah, when you're done with this plastic thing, we want to recycle it. Come to find out that building had not been recycling these things
in 10 years. It's the biggest housing unit in the
Over
city.
Over 200 people who are living there.
Units and no recycling, which is against city ordinance.
Yes. So they're right next door to the Gazette, so they recycle the paper. And at the time, after 6 months been living there, I was elected to be secretary.
Of the Tenants Association.
Of the Tenants Association. So I went down, and some years ago, when I was a head resident at Mount Holyoke, I mean, we were recycling. I saw you pedal people pushing your bicycle, so I just assumed my progressive Northampton, you were doing that. I've been a part of this valley forever. 20 years ago, when I started doing my one-woman show on Ida B. Wells Barnett, the person who I use that character is Francis Crowe. I mean, when I was a student here. So Northampton, to me, have always been one of progressive, probably the most progressive place I've ever lived. So when I got there and I went to ask them, I went downstairs and said, could you tell me where we put our recyclables? And there was a woman who had lived there for like 20-something years. She'd been president, vice president, and she was head of the, what they call the neighborhood association, police, whatever. She'd lived there. And she said, we don't do that here. We stop. She said, housing, stop doing that. And this was in the midst when they were changing from John Hyde to Kara Clifford. And I said, I was shocked. Well, what do you mean they don't recycle things here? And I had just come in and redecorated, and I'll never forget I had this picture of Obama, Martin Luther King, and Rosa Parks in there in the office. And I said, I'm sorry, I was confused. And she said, they don't recycle it because when they did do that and cans of stuff like whatever, it draw bugs.
People didn't wash out their cans and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when I was at Mount Holyoke, we had to teach people how to recycle. That's an educational component of what you have to do.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to start sharing.
No. Don't get me started. So anyway, so I'm sitting there in the office with this woman, and she was a lonely woman. So before I came in the office, she used to sit at the front and just watch people coming in. And so I didn't know her beforehand because I, you know, just got elected. And she said to me, I'll never forget this. She said, they don't do it. And I was thinking, I got to check into this because I can't believe they don't recycle here. And they hadn't been doing it for 10 years. And I didn't know what the specific ordinance was, but I knew that recycling in Northampton. And she then said, it's the Hispanics. They the one bring in all the roaches. And then she said, Lord have mercy. And I swear on my grandmother's name. She said, they don't mind roaches. And she said, it's in their breed. And at that point, you know, and every person of color and women or whatever, when somebody says something that's so offensive that hits you in your stomach, that feeling in your stomach, just it just kind of, if I hadn't been sitting down, it would probably have made me sit down. And I looked around thinking, this has to be a joke. Everybody knows I'm an actress. This must be John Quiñones from ABC 2020, What Would You Do? Must be filming here because they ought to know me, a black woman, would not. Where is the joke? So I kept looking around for the like red thing for them to be filming because this has to be a joke. So that's why I maintain my composure. Firstly, she was an elderly woman. And for her to say that, and then she went on and she said, oh, they don't mind roaches. I know. I was married to one. She went on. So and I was getting sick, I was like, ma'am. And I remember maintaining my composure that I said, ma'am, it's an issue of education. And I was calm too, because I could barely hear myself saying this. I said, I don't think it's an issue of ethnicity. I think it's an issue of education. And she's like, no, I was married to one. They don't mind roaches and they're nothing but drug dealers and blah, 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 blah. And then I was just like, and then a flashback came from when I grew up in the Deep South. And all you had to do is not say Hispanic. All you had to do is say black people or Indians. And I just felt sick. And I remember walking out of that office saying, I can't be in this office with this woman. She comes coming in. And I remember like my head, I wanted to hit my head down, like make it stop, make it go away. And all I kept thinking about was, this is Northampton. And every image came to me like, I didn't know what region I was in. I didn't know what part of the country I was in. I didn't know what decade I was in. And I'm looking at this white woman here saying this. And then, you know, it's like, all this is because I was talking about the environment. How did it get about racism here? And if this had been just a white woman, this was a leader in that building for 20 years. And I said, I went to the president at the time, and I go, I am so uncomfortable. I was about to cry. And, you know, I'm usually can handle this kind of stuff, but it hit me so off guard. And before I could say who this person was, the president who told me who she was. She goes, yes, she's been like that. And she told me that they at the housing was well aware of this woman's views. She had been reported numerous times. Well, later they denied this. I'm telling you, all of them denied this. All of this was denied because eventually I did have to do something about this. I wanted to bring in some education with this because at Mount Holyoke, if I work there, when something like that come, you go to educate, not to vilify this person. And I later learned a little bit more about this woman. But it initially, it hurt me. And you know there, you've been there, you came to those meetings because I reached out to you with this. I reached out to people. I had to go to my white allies because I didn't know what else to do because it hit me and triggered stuff in me. And all I kept thinking was my progressive Northampton, because this is where I got my solace. When I was back in Texas saying I live in Northampton, they in their mind, never knowing Northampton, think that I was talking about the white Molotov cocktail, South Boston. You know, they don't know. They don't know Northampton. Uh-huh. They're just like, Boston? No, I've never lived in Boston. She's up there in Boston. Oh, Lord, up there in Boston. I heard about Boston. No, I don't live in Boston. And I kept saying, in this place, there's a book about Northampton, one of the top 10 places to live with the population less than, you know, 100,000. It's great. And all these colleges and Smith College. This is where I did all my theater. And Francis Crowe, you know, who I modeled after the character that I've been doing. That is not the Northampton. But then you start thinking about the socioeconomic component of it, and then how they all got around her, because that was against the least to be saying stuff like that. Uh-huh. And so they didn't want to come around and do some education around this. And also, I have to say, the politics involved. This is right when Kara was going for this and people were calling for her ouster.
For people who don't know, the new housing authority director, she was like under a lot of fire at that time.
Yeah, to do something about it. So my natural thing was, and the vice president who had told me at one time, she at 14 years old had worked with Frances Groh. So I was thinking about it. I got to do something about this. And the vice president at the time, who had really, truly alienated the Latino community. I say Latino. You know, if I was in Texas, I'd be saying the Chicano, because there are a lot of Chicanos, you know, Mexico and the history with that. I met Cesar Chavez a week before he died. I came doing work in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. You know, I picked Corte Cafe in Nicaragua. Wow. The Latino community, what they've done for me, one of the reasons I'm in college today because of that. So to hear that, I was just dumbfounded. And all I could do was cry. And at the time, I just had, see, I remember this like it was yesterday, and my eyes getting a little watered, because I was in an auto accident, so I was walking with a cane Remember that?
I remember.
And I was having all these nightmares. It just brought back. I'm just telling you, a comment like that can bring you back. So I thought, with the new director here, I really wanted to do something about it. This had been going on for all this long. Housing knew about it. So I went to, and I remember this when I first moved to Massachusetts. If you know the name Frederick Hearst, when 1986, you guys got to help me, when they had that brawl between the Red Sox fans and the New York Mets fans at UMass, there was a brawl. I'm from from South, and Frederick Hearst came with the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination, and he came, and I think he lived on campus and observed what needed to happen. And I'm a product of that. And he came in and he made some suggestions to try to make the place. They called it civility. I came from civility classes from that. And he talked about it. He talked with people, staff, students, and this. And so he was a director of the MCAD. And so what he did to make the issues of civility and how you get all these different groups of people, because that was a game, and how did it become a racial brawl? So that's what I was thinking, the educational component, because all us teachers, when we go through UMass, you know, based on Jane Elliott, if you've ever heard of A Class Divided, Brown Eyes and Blue Eyes, as a teacher, we all had to go through that. At Mount Holyoke, many a days I had to go in and talk with people who were of Muslim faith, Jewish faith, roommates, how to have conflicts. We sit down by talking about it, not ignoring it, but not by denying it, and not by vilifying me, who was victimized by this and just wanted it to be brought up and not swept under the rug. Well, they all turned against me on this. Oh, and this woman also said, when there was shortly thereafter, there was another woman, an Asian woman, being elected to the board. And there she goes again. Another breed on the board. So
that's what was
she
said.
Knows this and have been doing this. And the board, they all stood behind her, denied it, all in collective form, said that, deny that. So this all went on and vilified me. The next day they refused to get on the elevator with me. So it was all in Progressive Northampton, and it was really horrifying. And I don't know, people would say, which is worse, growing up in a place like in Texas or going through an experience like this in the most progressive place that I know, I don't think there's much of a difference.
Yeah.
And denying it. It's the same mentality, like the Klan would say, we all got to do it, you know, we all got to do this one wrong thing. Because, you know, so we all can be a part of it. Or those who knew this was wrong, standing up for it. And then I was very, very upset with Kara Clifford. Because I'm saying, I'm telling you this, and she didn't know who was telling the truth. Get a lie detector test.
Uh-huh.
You, if I'm a student and I have two, Brent, two, or here, I love all my students. I can't pick one over the other. Yeah. So you could have got a lie detector test. You didn't know me. All I wanted by going to MCAD was to get some people to come in to talk about this. Lord, did I know that MCAD is backlog and huge and whatever, was to get some education. Just like now, I've asked them to get someone from DPW to come in and help us with recycling.
Just to do something educational about how to sort things.
To recycle. Yeah. I mean, they are doing it now, but it's been a long, came in.
I know, I tried to schedule something. I talked to the waste hauler that picks up at Salvo House, and they were like, oh yeah, we'll come to a workshop, but then getting housing authority
did you
to
know what
the,
they,
make the space didn't really
Did
happen.
You know what they told them about recycling? They told like if you put everything in the trash chute, which you read.
Oh yeah, so there were signs. So Salvo House is like seven floors, right? And there's a trash chute on every floor, and there's a sign on the trash chute that said, put all your cans and bottles down the trash chute.
Trash chute.
So where does it go? It goes to the trash at the bottom of the chute.
But it told them people, it's like there was an imaginary man down there catching the difference between the recycles and the ones between the trash.
It's all the same chute.
So you had people thinking all these years that they were actually recycling. And then you had it in the lease where it says, put this in the trash. And I found this out. So finally.
But yeah, the lease said, put your cans and bottles in the trash.
So finally, I had to go to DPW and the Department of Health. So they had to say, we're going to sue you. And this vice president saw me here with the camera guy. Remember, he came over to camera guy and nearly tried to manhandle me. And I'm like, oh, this is about recycling. And then he wrote up a sign, only one sign, because I thought if you put two of the signs.
Because
you
put up
came,
informational sheets about how to separate things out.
Right, because we need to learn these things. And then he wrote a sign up and says, only one sign here. No duplicates. And I said, listen, from being an actress, if you're having a show going on, you usually put two because that'll draw their audiences. And then the president at the time said, well, he wanted to be in charge of the bulletin board, which is people information, and I let him do it. So it's like, it's because I'm saying something about recycling. Still, it's not very well, but it's much better than before.
Yeah.
It's because now they got to by law now. Yeah. But as a guy from, I think his name is Chris Bishop, and I like Chris Bishop. He's with the Department of Health. Why are we working together with this? Oh, it's because I said it. So that's why is an issue of recycling turned into a full-fledged racial issue with them? Well, they pushed me. And now,
like physically.
Now they're accusing me of pushing them. So I'm facing some racial assault. That's to be. I have to tell you more about that. But, so that's been going on for like 2 years since I've been living there.
Yeah,
but that's just about recycling.
Yeah, you just wanted to talk about recycling. It all like came into this. And the one meeting, the one tennis association meeting that I was at too.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
we don't want this place looking like a ghetto.
I heard that comment. Someone was talking about laundry hanging laundry out to dry on their porch.
And then you said to me, you're so kind. You were at the meeting and they were like, I mean, they could have just said, do you mind cleaning off your balcony and just being sensitive. And when I was there, I would always, say please to this. And they were just, and then I wrote that down. And then.
Because you were a secretary, you were taking meeting minutes and you wrote
it in
the
minutes. And then they said, I didn't have a college degree and I'm this and that and that, whatever. They could say this. Mm. But then you were there and you said, you're so cute. You said, can I talk to you about one of the words when they said that this place isn't a ghetto? I go, that's actually kind of nice considering some of the things I've heard them say. I go, yeah, well, and then I wrote it up. And then they got word that I had spoken to my lawyer. And then they said, take this out. And they blacked it all out. Mm. I go, but these are your words. He goes, yeah, but I didn't say it. Somebody else told me to say that word ghetto. I said, do you know where the word ghetto came from? Actually, and believe it or not, one of the guy on the group who said this, it's a Jewish guy. And I was telling him, do you know what the word, they use the word, ghetto in reference to Jewish people, and Nazi, Hitler's time, they put the Jewish people into this ghetto. And I said, there's an interesting in the choice of words. Why would you have to say this in the ghetto? There's a lot of Puerto Ricans, a lot of Latino people who live here. And that offends me. It should offend you. And maybe if we learned about where these words come from. And the sad thing, I want to get back to this elderly woman. I heard that her husband was a Latino man, and he was an alcoholic and a drug user, and he used to beat her routinely. Listen, I grew up with a grandmother and a mother who were beaten. That's not nice. Mm-hmm. And if I could, I would hug her and say, I'm sorry you went through this beatings. And I went through the training for safe passages to be a victim's advocate. And I'm sorry that that happened. I went and got flyers from safe passages to put up on the bulletin board. They would take it down. I am sorry that happened. But that doesn't give you the right to hate all. And she does. All Hispanic people. That's the part that's hating. Like, why don't you get some healing from your hurting? Because there's that sign, that saying, hurt people.
Right.
And when does it stop? Uh-huh. But I was really surprised, and I was surprised that I wish that housing would do more in the education world. Well, maybe because I worked in education.
Yeah.
You know, as in college where you have this, you immediately do something. Even if people don't come, housing would be doing something to address a problem.
Yeah. So, like, you were trying to bring in education with MCAD, exactly. And it just turned in all this retaliation.
Oh, and
it,
yeah.
I'm looking at the clock. We're going to have to
see there, America. Things. You get me talking about this kind of stuff.
You can go on and on. Yes, Johanna. It's Johanna. Johanna.
Who is this? Hi.
And Dwayne are here in the studio.
Johanna.
All right. Hi. We're going to.
Black Lives Matter from last week.
Yeah, hi. Johanna called last week.
Hi. I heard you on the radio. I said, hi.
Dwayne Rainey's here as well. No, Dwayne, who does Fridays. My generation on Fridays. Dwayne's here. So we got four of us in here now. There's another, there's more mics if anyone wants to say anything.
They come in here and speak.
You know what? I'm going to take just 1 minute and play. No, 2 minutes.
Don't you play that music you played when I came here.
No, I'm not playing that music. I'm playing a little Francis Crowe making an announcement.
Oh, good. I love Francis Crowe.
Wednesday, March 8th, is International Women's Day. And there's a program that women have organized, Code Pink Women, at the First Churches, starting at 6:45. And they're having some refugees, women from Syria come and talk. This one woman has a PowerPoint projection that she's put together of what it's like to come to this country from Syria. And the same night, we have a film at Forbes Library at 6:30, and we're showing a film, Which Way Home, which is the story of children, migrant children from Central America and Mexico who are coming to the United States looking for their parents. That the parents have come here to earn money and the kids want family. So they are riding the trains and hope to find their parents when they get here. And along the way, they stop for Catholic worker type of hostels where they can sleep for a night and get food. And if the train goes through the town, maybe the people working at the hostel throw them sandwiches and things and try to help them. But it's a very heart-rendering film. And if you don't go to the International Women's Film, come to Forbes Library.
Okay, so
the
Syrian women are talking at 6:45 and the film is at 6:30?
Yes. Okay. So it's hard to do both.
Okay.
And this is Dwayne Randy stepping in for a moment, and Ruthie Woodring, either that or her voice has changed. I have an announcement I just found out about. It's a 2017 Winter Music Fest, an event to raise funds for Homeward Vets. That's March 4th in 2017 at the World War II Club in Union Street in Northampton, Mass. We're just there the other night for a women's arm wrestling competition. So I guess I have quite a few events. Friday, I believe I have Steve Connor in here with me for a little while. He's the director of Veterans Affairs in Northampton. But again, that's this Winterfest 2017 on this Saturday night.
And hang on, Jada, the mic wasn't on.
You better quit. At least take it, you know, every, you know, an hour or two before you come on.
Thanks, Dwayne, for making that announcement. Where was I? So you've just tuned in. That you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and Jada Tarbutton Springfield has been here in the studio.
On? Is she going to come on? Why? Just to say hi.
Johanna Halvorsen's here in the studio with us, too. What mic are you on? Is that three?
Yes, no, maybe.
Yes, okay. Yes,
Johanna. That I'm here.
Saying hello.
We can give a little plug for your show, too, Johanna, right?
Sing about it on Sunday afternoons from 4 to 6. Oh. Yeah. That's topical folk music, right.
Oh, you're going to plug your show, A Man Who Also Sounds Like Ruthie?
And so Dwayne does a show Friday from 2 to 4. That's when you said Steve Connor's coming on?
Yeah.
He's coming on your show.
What? Should be here about 2 o'clock. I don't know how long he's going to stay, but...
Wait, hang on. Here come. I don't think they can hear
I
you.
I said, yeah, Friday he should be in here around 2 o'clock when I start my show. I don't know how long he's going to stay, but maybe he can pick up some music instead of me.
Fridays from 2 to 4 is my generation, 70s rock and roll.
Oh, I like that.
Jada, I just wanted to thank you again for coming on. Any last thoughts before Democracy Now! Comes on at 5?
Hey, listen, guys. Listen, thank you. This is therapy for me. I so enjoy it. Of course, me, as shy as I am, like talking by myself, I don't know how you got me to do it. I just don't know. A little Southern woman like myself coming in, just talking about things like the Oscars and talking about a situation here in Progressive Northampton, dealing with issues that we're all concerned about. I appreciate you letting me share it. Ruthie was a part of that, a really wonderful support, and talking about some things there to help us help white people become wonderful allies, and also talking about some of the issues dealing with racism and other forms of injustice and ways that we can work around it, work through it. I think it helps us all. And Ruthie, this is a wonderful format, and I'd like to thank my number one fan here who came in, called in last time and asked me to come back, and I did.
Yes.
So thank you for this.
Thanks, Johanna.
Anytime, audience, call me.
585-1033 is the studio number.
Yes.
All right, I guess that's it.
All righty.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, take care.
Tune into Valley Free Radio Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. for Reggae Down, a reggae music show with Rasta Paul as host, and reggae music from all over the world, from Jamaican to Iceland. Reggae music is listened to, popular in the Rastafarian culture, and values that apply to all people. That's Reggae Down,
so
Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m.
On
Valley Free Radio.